Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Support for this podcast is provided by Subchuck Law. Revolution Recap thanks Subchuck Law for their support of our show, local independent media, and their mission of bringing unbiased truth. Revolution Recap would also like to thank Six Point Builders for their support. Six Point Builders are builders of fine custom homes in the Boston metropolitan area. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Revolution Recap. We have a bonus interview for you for your end of the week. Seth Maycomber spoke to Sebastian Latou. Listen to him this weekend, called the Revolution TFC game in French on Apple TV. And regardless of your language preference, the game is free for everyone. You don't need an Apple TV subscription to watch the Revs face TFC this weekend. Before we get to the interview, we want to let you know that this episode is presented to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more, including Major League Soccer. Of course, the Revolution coming into this weekend as big favorites against TFC, so make sure you get in on the action there. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Also, be sure to check out GolassoKits.com and always remember to use promo code REVSRECAP to save 15% off your order. Everything in the store, 15% off when you use promo code REVSRECAP. And with all that being said, here is Seth's interview with Sebastian Latou.
All right, Seth Maycomber from the Blazing Musket with another interview this week, talking to Apple personality Sebastian Latou. Sebastian, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you. Sorry, I'm driving right now, so I hope you can hear me very well.
No, it sounds great. Big game this weekend against Toronto FC, the New England Revolution, playing at home, ending a three-game homestand. But I want to start to your playing career, because you're someone who the New England Revolution fans know quite well. You're someone that scored a lot of goals against the New England Revolution. I got to ask you, is there something that you really enjoyed when it came to playing against the Revolution?
No, not really. I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, we always have one team. We always do better, you know, when we play every player, every forward, you know, to score more goals. And I guess mine was a Revolution. And yeah, I don't know why I was always able to score in your stadium or even at home when we play in Philadelphia, especially because we play the Rev a lot. So just luck, I guess, you know, not really something special or an extra motivation for me. It was just the hazard who making me score lots of goals.
All right, I got to bring you back to a game. I'm not sure if you're going to remember it. I definitely remember it. September 8th, 2011, the Revs scored three unanswered goals, Soares, Lekic, and Zirka in 25 minutes. Then Roger Torres scores. Then Failhaber scores. The Revolution are winning 4-1 at halftime.
Yes, and it was in Philly, right?
Freddie, yes, Freddie Adu scores, then you score a brace. I gotta ask you, is that one of the most absurd games you've ever been part of? 4-4, the final score line there.
Yes, it was kind of crazy to be able to come by because it was two different half. I remember it was one we got crushed completely by the Revolution. We didn't know how to play them. Everything was going the wrong way, and then after we scored the second goal, it kind of like changed the momentum, and I don't know. We just kind of surf on a good wave of scoring more goals, and 4-4, I think was the most. I would say goals have been a part at home. It was crazy, and I was lucky to get to score one of those goals.
You mentioned that you've played against the Revolution a lot. I talked to Kalen Carr a few weeks ago, and he mentioned that the Revolution player that he most disliked to play against was Jay Heaps because Jay Heaps was relentless. Jay Heaps never gave up. Like, you think you have him beat, but he'd come back and hit you with a hard tackle. So, as someone who'd played against the Revolution quite a bit, who is a Revolution player that you disliked playing against a lot?
He was feral. I didn't like to play against him because he was always so fast. And even if, I was beating the center backs, he was always coming back and covering, within his right side. And it was very annoying because it was so hard to beat him in 1v1. So I always try to play not in his zone, but on the other side to try to score the goals.
Very interesting. I'm wondering, like, Andrew Farrell is one of like the nicest guys in soccer in general. So what's it like to see him as a person and be like, oh, what a nice guy, but on the field he's such a harsh competitor. He's always putting in those tackles.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, like I say, when he came in the league as a rookie, he did a right away a big impact, for the Rev, and he was playing very hard. And like I say, it was very very tough to beat him on in 1v1, with especially the speed he had and how smart he was covering the ground. I think he had an unbelievable career with the Rev, playing his entire career to one team. It's hard to do, and he did it very well. So it's somebody I really didn't like to play against, I have to say. So when he was always not starting or a bit injured, I was kind of happy to not see him in the starting 11.
So the Revolution and the Union play each other quite a bit, especially during that COVID year. It leads to this question every single year. Is the New England Revolution Union, is that a rivalry within MLS, or do they have different rivals out there?
I feel like, it's been all those years. I feel like he can probably become more a rival now just because of how the Revolution have been playing since a couple of years, winning the Supporter Shield a couple of years ago. Then it was the Union. So there's kind of like a rivalry now, more about kind of being one of the best team on the East Conference. I feel like the rivalry between the Union and the Red Bull is more because it's very close by and not many people like New York in Philadelphia, but Boston, I feel like it's just about who is the best team on the field, and Philly and the Revolution have been, up there now since a couple of years.
I do want to bring us to modern day soon, but I do have to ask you play with Freddie Adu, and Freddie Adu is a big name in US soccer folklore. The Grant Wall, the late great Grant Wall, did a really great podcast profiling Freddie Adu. And there are stories about him being a player, him being a great person, the things that he went through. So, what was it like to play with Freddie Adu with the Philadelphia Union?
I mean, I didn't play a lot with him because he came like mid-season, and then I got traded to Vancouver, so I just were able to play with him for a couple of months. But it was kind of like great to know him a little bit, seeing kind of like where he came from, how early he went pro, especially in America, and the big impact he got in a lot of different, let's say, youth life in soccer. It's I was still living in France when his name was announced as a future, next Pelé. I remember he was like 15 years old or 14 years old. So it's not easy, and I can't even imagine like all the stuff happened in his life, and it was pretty much crazy to him and to handle that, and being in Europe and playing in all those teams, every year. I think he was always kind of being loaned or transferred to somebody else. So it was kind of like nice to be able to play with him. He still have, a lot of great technique, but you can see that he was a lot, you know, to him. He has a long career, and you can see he was a bit tired about all the move he had to do during his life.
So we talked about the Revs historically. Let's bring it a little bit more to current day. It feels like with Bruce Arena coming in, a little bit with Brad Friedel before that, because Brad Friedel helped bring in, you know, some players like Carlos Hill, also with the training center being built. We have Bruce Arena that really marched things forward. It feels like this is a new New England Revolution team, that the organization looks a little bit different. Do you feel the New England Revolution that we look at today is different from the New England Revolution that existed when you were playing?
Yeah, I think so. I think you had like a kind of a post New England Revolution after, you know, you went to all those finals in 2000, you know, 6, 7, 8, you know, you were always you and Houston, you know, it was kind of like the two best team for a couple of years in this league. And then kind of the New England Revolution have went a bit down, like in level of playing, but you still had the same mentality. But I feel like with now I just saw the new training facilities and everything. There's a much more, you know, like quality and I would say like good work happening now in New England. So you can see now on the field, you can see the player you are bringing to, like, with, let's say, just talk about, you know, Carlos Hill, who is for me one of the best player in this league. It's kind of like great to see the way, I guess, you are playing now, the type of soccer. Yeah, it's been, I think, a little like roller coaster from all the great years. You know, you were on top for so many times and then went down a little bit. And I think now since a couple of years, you are kind of back to be one of the best in the league.
You mentioned the name right there, Carlos Hill, former league MVP, someone who's always contending for that title. If you were playing now, what one Revolution player would you like to play with it? Is it Carlos Hill, or is there someone else that you really wish that you had the opportunity to play alongside?
Yeah, no, I would say Carlos Hill, just because, you know, I'm a forward and I always need a guy who has a vision, knows the pass, and Hill has it. You know, he's unbelievable from everywhere on the field. He's always looking to find the right pass to his forward. He could be, you know, from 40 yards or 10 yards, he always kind of tried to combine. And it's, I can see now, you know, just commentating the game, the way he plays, the way he tried to always be on the ball. And for me as a forward, it's always fun because I was always be looking to wait for him to get on the ball and, you know, make my runs to get fun, because he has such a great passing quality that it can be a good fun for me to be as a forward and get some good balls.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about this New England Revolution side this year. It's an interesting season for them because they came out so hot. They were leading the league in points. And then all of a sudden, they got devastated by injuries. Dylan Barrero is out for the season. Henry Kessler out long term. And then we see these little injuries get popped up here and there, as well as DeJuan Jones going off on international duty. When you look at this New England Revolution side, do you believe they have the pieces currently to compete to be an MLS Cup contender?
I think they can be for sure, yeah, one of them. And like you say, I think a lot of teams in the league are dealing with injuries. You know, you are not the only team who has, you know, some roster issue when you have one or two big injuries. I think like the quality is there, and you saw it during the beginning of the season where the team were on top. Then, you know, now there's the Gold Cup coming, you know, little international breaks, plus then you will be like the Leagues Cup kind of coming into the mix. So all of those games, I think the deep roster will be very important for every team, and it's going to be, I think, a big thing for each coach to be able to rotate and make sure he plays every time the best starting event. So if you have always, you know, 14, 15 guys, 16, maybe you can count on and you're okay to start and get results. I think the team who have the healthiest guy could be, you know, going far into the regular season. So for me, yes, I think New England could be one of those teams. And you always know it's always tough to play at your stadium because it's a different surface and it's kind of like takes time to feel the rhythm of the game. And it's it could be like a big thing for the New England Revolution to be really like undefeated at home, like what is Cincinnati doing this year, which is pretty incredible.
You mentioned that it's tough to play at Gillette Stadium for teams that come in there. You play there, obviously. What makes it tough? Is it about the atmosphere? Is it about the turf? What is the thing that, as a player, makes it tough to come into New England?
It's just like a big thing. The turf is not, like I would say, probably the worst in the league compared to all the other turf field, like in Portland or Seattle, or even in Charlotte. It's very like a different type of turf, so that's why there's a lot of complaint, or you don't see a lot of maybe superstar, you know, in the past playing at your stadium because they know that it could be a risk more of injury. So it's that's why like not a lot of team like to come first to play there, and then since it's a tough environment too, and the team always play very hard and physical, it's always cool. And not a lot of team love to play there. So when you got a good result in New England, you are pretty happy.
You mentioned that the Revolution could be an MLS Cup contender. One thing that could put them over the line is the summer transfer window. We saw that the Revolution made a move recently, buying out Jozy Altidor, opening up some resources there, as well as Dylan Barrero being put on the season-ending list. So that allows them to use a U22 initiative slot. Tom Bogert from The Athletic recently reported that the Revs are looking to bring in at least two players during the summer transfer window. If you are Bruce Arena, if you are the New England Revolution, what positions do you think you bring in to help bolster this team?
that's a good question. I mean, since, you know, you have, I feel, some injury right now with the back line, I will maybe try to get another center back, you know, to help your defense, because I think with Kessler being out, you have Farrell who kind of like slide into the center back position, which he did a good job. But I think maybe one more guy could help, you know, him and Romney to get some rest and be, you know, ready to play for other games. And then maybe like another midfielder who can be like a guy who can play as wide or, you know, as a center mid as well, depending on what type of formation Bruce decide to play, because you can always play, you know, with a 4-4-2 or 4-3-3. It's always, I would think, a lot depending on where Carlos Hill is playing, because he dictates a lot about the way I think this team is playing.
I think one team, we look at a team is that there are oftentimes underrated players on it, right? Guys that just come in and do their job week in and week out. In the last couple of weeks, I was trying to emphasize that, be like, hey, these guys are good for the Revolution. Maybe their stats don't like pop out like a Carlos Hill, or maybe they're not grabbing the highlight reel in terms of Gustavo Bow or something like that. But for me, Dave Romney is a player for the Revolution who every single week is just doing a great job. Left-footed center back, he's played every single minute this year. So even as the back line is shuffling, you can count on Dave Romney. When you look at this Revolution team, is there a player that you look at and say, this is an underrated player, this is a player who just does their job every single week, and he's so essential to the way the Revolution play?
Yeah, I think, you know, you, like this year, you have a few. I agree with you with Romney. I think he really brings some stability into your center defense. He's not, let's say, the splashy center back, but he do everything, you know, right. His position is good. He really help, like, the defense not giving up a lot of goal. And I think with his experience, he can really help, you know, your two young fullback who are very good too, you know, offensively, but defensively can maybe do a little bit of better job. So he's here to kind of help them. And I think, you know, like your center midfield with Polster, who is doing a great job, I think this year, like playing a holding midfielder, kind of getting a lot of ground, getting those balls to then be able to just give a nice, easy pass for Hill, who then can make the play for your team. I think he's somebody that you don't maybe see all the ground he's covering and everything he's doing, but it's very important, I think, for Bruce Arena and for your team, because you need a guy who is here to kind of like get the dirty work, and he's one of them. And I will think maybe the young player Burke, who is coming this year, I think had been pretty impressive, and to be playing with this type of maturity at his young age, I think was very very good for the team, and that's why you have a good, strong holding midfielder.
You mentioned Noel Bach. I talked to him last week in the locker room. He recently went to prom. He recently graduated. I mean, this is a talented individual who's also experiencing life as a teenager. I'm curious, like during your playing career, did you ever experience anything like that where you have these big life moments? And it might have been stuff from later on in your life that's also coinciding with your playing career.
Like you mean like a prom, like when I was young?
Yeah, maybe like when you were younger and you're playing, you had, prom, but also a big game, or maybe later in life, a wedding that was going on, or just maybe like we sometimes forget that these athletes also have personal lives, and they go home to their wife and kids. So for me, it was really fascinating to think about how he went to prom and danced to Taylor Swift and had graduation, and then, had to go play at Gillette Stadium with, 30,000 people in the stands. Like it's like a duality of life. So I'm curious, how did you kind of balance your personal life with your professional life? And then did you ever have any big events like that, coincided at all?
I mean, not something I remember. I remember that I did a lot of sacrifice, to not go to a lot of, party. And I live in France, which is a bit different, life. I would say lifestyle when you are young, about, the drinking age and stuff like that. So I was always trying to be serious, going out, but always kind of like give myself a curfew to go home, not staying too late, not drinking. But yeah, I definitely had to miss a lot of, yeah, I would say more in the summertime, like the summer party and everything with all my friends, who were like going to the show and stuff like that. I was like, okay, I'm sorry guys, I'm just going to stay home, work out, get ready for the preseason. So I want to be ready and play, in the summer and play with my team. So yeah, it was, I would say more sacrifice, but it's not really like one, especially I was like, oh, I was not able to go because I had a game or I missed something.
Sure. So this weekend's game, a big one against Toronto FC. Noel Buck at midweek said that it was a must-win game, talking about it's against a Eastern Conference foe, talking about how it's at home, end of a home stand that the Revolution have. I'm curious about that term must-win. So it's a cliche that we often hear in sports, but we know that in MLS, there's a lot of teams that make the playoffs. So what do you think? Like, is this game a must-win? Do must-wins truly exist this early in the season in Major League Soccer?
I don't think it's a must win. I just think that it's a game that they should win. So it's a bit different. It's just because the way that the Revolution is playing right now, I think it's pretty good. They came back to the way they were playing, I think, at the beginning of the year. They got more confidence. They got a full week of training without a game on Wednesday, which is Toronto play yesterday and got killed in Cincinnati. The confidence and the team in Toronto is really, really low right now. You don't really see the way they can get out of where they are in the funk right now. To be honest with you, it was kind of tough to watch yesterday. So as a player of the Revolution, they have to win this game. I don't think it's a must, but it would be very surprising if they don't win, I think, for a lot of people watching them, just because of where Toronto is right now. Maybe Toronto is going to switch something and it might be a wake-up call for them this game. But yeah, I think all the cards are in the hand of the Revolution. And if they play the same way they play, they should win this game. But if they attack the game like thinking it's going to be kind of an easy game because Toronto is not as good right now and struggling, it might be an ugly game and maybe Toronto is going to win, a 1-0 or something like that because the Revolution are not taking them seriously. But if they take them seriously and they are, I think, doing the game plans and Bruce Arena asked them to do on paper and right now in a, let's say, power ranking, as we call it in a league, the Revolution should win this game.
Sebastian, I appreciate you at the time. I do have to ask you one more question about Gareth Bale. Recently have a pretty interesting quote. You are a player, you're now a commentator, you experience Major League Soccer in multiple different ways. Gareth Bale, who played with LAFC last year, winning a trophy, came out and said, "It's a lot more chilled in Major League Soccer. If you lose at Real Madrid, it's like the world has ended. You are crucified. You feel down. You go home and you're not happy. They accept losing a bit more. There's no consequences. You can't get relegated over there. When you lose a game, you go on to the next one. They accept losing a lot better over there. They know how to lose, but they celebrate every win like they have won a championship. He will definitely enjoy it. He's talking about Messi in that last part. So for you as a former player and a current commentator, how do you respond to that quote from Bale?
I mean, there's, you know, a lot of truth in what he's saying just because of where I come from. You know, he played all his career in Europe. He never came to America. He never, you know, played here before or understood, I guess, the American mentality about sports and how every league has been built. And it was the same for me when I came here. When I came to Philadelphia the first year as an expansion team, we were really, really bad. And, you know, we didn't make the playoff because we were like very low in the standing. And he was kind of like, okay, you definitely don't feel as much pressure sometime at the beginning, especially when you're a new team. It's kind of nice to not be relegated. So in Europe, you know, in every division, you need to win because it's such a huge thing to come down a division. So you play for something all the time. I feel like when I came here at the beginning and you don't play for something, even if you're in the bottom, it's kind of like, okay, you already can like think about the next year and where the team is going. So for him too, like he has been playing for the best team in Europe and he compared to Real Madrid, which Real Madrid, no matter what, they want to be number one every game. So if they lose and, you know, they have a fans all over the world, they know that they're going to get killed, you know, on social media or whatever, even if they miss a pass and even if they win the game. So it's definitely a different type of pressure over there. So it's, I agree with him, a bit more chill for a guy who have been his entire career trying to be the number one in any division and every country I play for. And when you come here and you know that, oh, if we lose, it's not too bad because we cannot be relegated, it definitely put a bit less pressure. So I understand where he come from and why he says that, but it's I think you just need to know more about this country and how sport has been built to understand the way you play like a sport in America.
I feel like one part of the quote that's gotten a lot of attention is they accept losing a lot better over there. And I talked to AJ De La Garza after he retired, and he talked about how when he lost, he wasn't pleasant to be around. That like his wife kind of knew to like stay clear a little bit. And he's like, not in a mean way or anything, but like I knew I did a bad job, or I knew there was things I needed to work on. And I feel like there are some people that have kind of looked at that part of the quote and said that Major League Soccer players accept losing. And would you agree with that, or would you agree more on AJ De La Garza saying that like, no, like we want to win every single game. Maybe the pressure is a little bit different from Europe, but we don't accept losing in Major League Soccer.
No, it's I agree with AJ. I think it's if you play a sport, and I will think really like probably 98% of the players are a bad loser. Like if you ask me to play any game, I want to win. You know, it's who I am, and it's how pretty much everybody who have a career in a professional sport are a winner. You don't like losing. If somebody like losing, he doesn't become a professional soccer player or professional athlete. It's kind of like a mantra like you have. So yeah, I remember, you know, when I played Philadelphia the first year, we had a very tough year. We are losing like game left and right. We played, you know, the first 10 games away. It was very difficult. And I think we just won one. Like it was like cricket every time in the locker room. Like we were devastated. Like all of us like hated it. It was just kind of like, hey, what the hell is going on? You know, like we cannot like go and even like say hi to, you know, the person who give us the mail who knew like we play for the team, because everything's like, oh, okay, so I guess you're a loser. Like you don't like that. You don't want to be a loser. So it's I agree with AJ that yeah, it's not fun to be around. Like I always, you know, you just stay at the hotel like every time when you lose. Like you don't go out or do anything. When you win, maybe yeah, you go have a beer. You know, in the past when we stay at the hotel when you play in a far city, but other than that, like you stay in a room and you just think about, you know, the next game to win, because it's a terrible feeling, like especially when you play for winning a game or you play for something, because you have, you know, you have like always people watching you, like you have your family, you have your friends, you know, a lot of fans. You hate, you know, people put people down who always want to see you you know, perform and represent the badge of your city and or your country. So it's really tough for anybody to lose, especially when, even if you still have nothing to play for, you are still motivated to, you know, finish well and score the goals and win for your fans.
I gotta say, I really appreciate that answer, because I feel like this year, more than any other year, we've seen a lot of fans confronting players. And we saw that with NYCFC, and we saw that with the LA Galaxy. And I totally believe that fans should have the right to kind of voice their opinion and stuff like that. But I remember the NYCFC clip, and the fans like literally saying, like, you guys don't look like you're caring at all. Like, you look like you're kind of phoning it in. And I think it was James Sand that was kind of firing back. Like, I care every single day that I come out here. Like, yes, we lost, but like, I do not put it on us not caring about winning. And I think that that's one thing that we forget, that that you players, like, you guys are people as well. You're holding yourselves to a high standard. And yeah, sometimes you have these bad days, but like, once you leave that stadium, you have, you know, families to go to, you have to think about like what your next contract going to be. So I think it's really difficult for me to see some of those moments, because I 100% agree that fans should have a right to boo or to say their opinions towards certain players or to the team as a whole. But I don't think it's right to call out players and say, you don't care about this team.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, it could happen that maybe, you know, you can have maybe one player sometime who doesn't care because he knows that, okay, next year I'm going to go to a different team, or because, you know, already, you know, did well, so now I don't care. It could happen, you know, there's always some, you know, player who has egos and, you know, they think first about themselves and think about the team. But like you say, I think any player who lose care because he impact, you know, first them personally, impact, you know, their family, impact like everybody who support them. And at the same time, it's if, and like I say, everybody who play in a team are in the professional athlete want to go to the next level. They want to have the best career. They want to win title. You don't just play to play. Otherwise, you just play in a Sunday league in the morning if you just want to play. If you want to win title and leave stuff and, you know, feel the energy from the fan, and it's all the time, it happened to me when I was lucky enough to start a game and be in a full stadium in front of like away fan or home fan, it's the same thing. It's just like a blessing, and you always, you know, are happy to be. But if you are not good and your team lose, it impacts you, because then who wants you in your team? Because they're like, sorry, but you were playing for a terrible team and you didn't play well as well. So you always try to get better, because you know that you need to keep playing hard to get, you know, like you said, the next contract, the next team, if you don't stay in the same one, to get on a winning streak and have a better career. And every player is the same way.
Sebastian, thank you so much for taking the time. We went a little bit longer because your answers are so thoughtful, especially at the end there. This weekend's game, you are covering the New England Revolution against Toronto FC. It is free on Apple. So if you have not checked out this service, check it out on the Apple app, MLS Live. There's so many great things. I was watching last night, MLS 360. Sebastian, thank you so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you very much. And if you want to listen to me on Apple TV, I will be in French speaking. So since I'm from there, hopefully maybe you understood better my French than my English in this interview.
Absolutely. And there's lots of great language options to toggle through. And absolutely, the French one is being a great resource for fans that are in Canada, especially. So thank you again.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks again to Sebastian for joining the show. Thanks again to our sponsor, BetOnline. This episode was presented to you by BetOnline. Remember to use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.